good to see y'all here in the sanctuary this morning. Anybody that's online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing, Ah, Lord God.
Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty in thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult. The heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty in thee. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Praise the Lord.
are an offering. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
Then at last when on high he sees us our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Amen. You may be seated. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
One check. There it is. I got it, man. I'm going to try. We got one birthday, Buddy Breyer. Any other birthdays in the house? Any other birthdays? Anybody else? Anybody else? What did he say? That's where Hunter got in the water, amen. All right. Any other birthdays? Is that it? Going once, going twice. All right, Buddy Breyer, we're going to sing happy birthday to you, sir.
All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. And many more. Anybody know how old Brother Buddy is? Anybody? I don't know. He's five. I'm telling you what. Amen. Are we going to do children's church with one, or is he going to hang in here? He'll hang in here. You going to hang in here with me? No. Amen. He's like, no? Okay. Bless your heart. I'll try to be good today. You'll enjoy it, maybe. I don't know. All right, for the rest of you. Well, I do have one important announcement. Amen. For if you're watching with us online, this is not the important announcement, but if you're watching with us online, good to have you today. Amen. And we have basically brought back about everything that we canceled because of COVID. The one thing we're not doing is passing the offering plate. That doesn't mean that we're not giving, right? We're still putting it in on the way out the door or in the way in the door. Amen? Amen. We got to keep doing that. I mean, I can call the electric company and say, hey, will you take good looks? And they're like, no, not taking good looks. We got to have the cash. So thank you for supporting the church. Those of you watching online, thank you for supporting the church as well. It will take all of us to get through this continued pandemic together. If you've not heard already, the Delta variant is quickly making a mess of things in the great state of Missouri. I have family that lives up there. They were saying that it took 3 months. Remember the UK variant? Everybody's talking about the UK variant? UK variant. Remember the UK variant? Took 3 months to spread the whole state of Missouri, UK variant. It's taken 3 weeks for the Delta variant to take that state over, okay? Delta variant's here in the state of Texas. If you get it and you're not vaccinated, your viral load will be 1,000 times higher than what the original COVID-19 was. So what are you telling me, Pastor? I'm telling you, you're going to be shedding more virus. You're going to be sicker than a dog. If you don't end up in the hospital, I don't know how you made it. I just don't know how you made it. So those of you that have a vaccine in you, you're probably going to get a booster next year or have offered a booster for you to take. For those of you that have not gotten a vaccine, wash your hands. Don't touch, keep your tongue off the glass at the grocery store. Don't go down the aisle and just run your hand and then go, no, don't do that, none of that. You got to stay super duper clean if you're not going to take a vaccine. You see somebody sneeze or cough or wheeze or hack or whatever, you immediately turn and run the opposite direction. Amen? Trying to keep you safe, keep you healthy. But that's not the important announcement. The important announcement is this. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. I busted open a new half gallon of Bluebell Dutch chocolate. And when I pulled the lid back, you tell me if this has happened to you before. I kid you not, there was a smiley face looking right back at me. Does that happen to y'all? I'm telling you, it was two eyes and a smiley face, and I was like, is this Bluebell trying to tell me that it's okay when I fill up my little quart? Because, Miss Vicki, you're only supposed to have a quarter cup. A quarter cup of Bluebell, or is it a half cup? It's a half cup of Bluebell as a serving. Is Bluebell trying to tell me that it's okay to put a half a cup and then one more scoop? I don't know. I ate the smiley face. But I took a picture of it. If you want to see it, I'll show it to you after church. Lo and behold, I looked at that and I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I'm eating me a smiley face for dessert. All right, that's my important announcement. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin reading here in verse 1. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin reading here in verse 1. And we'll take it through verse 8, Matthew chapter 12. If you're visiting with us today, let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. Thankful to have visitors with us. Thank you for being here. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. If you found that passage, say amen. The Word of God reads this. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath, your Bible may say profane, break the Sabbath and are innocent, your Bible may say blameless there. Verse 6, but I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. Then he goes on to say, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion. Everybody say compassion. Compassion. I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. You would not have condemned the innocent. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we love you today. We praise you today. We thank you today for your goodness and your grace to us. We are so overjoyed that we have the privilege of gathering in this place this morning to be your called out, to be your gathered, to be your church. And Lord, we are blessed beyond measure. It is a privilege to get to observe the Lord's Supper table today, communion. And Father God, I pray that our hearts would be made right, that we would be made ready, that Lord, if there are things standing in the way of receiving the elements, that even as I'm praying now, as I begin to preach in a moment, and as we bring this thing to a conclusion, with the invitation, Lord, if there's things in the way, may we begin to make those right, begin to confess those things, begin to lay those things at the foot of the cross so that we are clean. We are as clean as we spiritually can be as we come to this table this morning. Lord, if we're harboring bitterness, if we're harboring unforgiveness, if we're harboring a critical spirit, Father God, I pray we would lay that down and receive your peace and receive your grace and receive your mercy this very hour. Lord, there may be others perhaps watching online, Lord, or perhaps in this very service with me here this morning. They do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that in the preaching of this word and the telling of this gospel, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would squeeze their heart in such a way that they would not be able to deny the faith, but they would let Jesus in. They would receive Christ today as their personal Lord and Savior. We are thankful, Jesus, that you still save. We praise you today for all that you've done for us, for what you're doing for us now, and what you have planned for us in the future. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we practice here what's called open communion, all right? What does that mean? Well, it's not closed, it's open. And, well, what does that mean? Well, if you've received Christ and you have followed the Lord in believer's baptism, in other words, when you were baptized, you knew it was an act of obedience, you knew it was a testimony time. If you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, in other words, you've exercised that first ordinance, baptism, but you're not a member. You've received Christ, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, but you're not a member of this church. We invite you to join us in receiving the elements this morning, right? Totally up to you. You can do that. We understand either way. Well, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know you people that well. That's okay. When we get to the invitation time, you're more than welcome to step out. Or if you want to stay in and participate with us, you just hang right in here and receive the elements and go through the communion with us. Either way, up to you. Amen? We want you to do that. All right. Now, we finished up Matthew chapter 11 last week. Good chapter. Great. A lot of good preaching in there. Where Jesus offered, what did he do? He offered true soul rest, and he offered a new and better way of living. Do you remember that? How was that supposed to happen? That was supposed to happen in us taking on, submitting to, coming up under, if you will, that what? That perfectly made, that tailor-made yoke, right? His burden is easy and his yoke is lighter. His yoke is easy and his burden is, you know what I'm saying, amen, 11:28, right? You with me on that? Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, right? Right, we talked about that, broke that all out, tried to explain that to you. This message this morning picks up on a recurring theme throughout the Gospel of Matthew and throughout the Gospels in general, and that is of the opposition and the rejection against Jesus Christ by his very Jewish brethren, his Jewish people. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, we've already preached through it, Jesus has already been opposed by the Pharisees for associating with sinners, right? The sinner in question was Matthew, the tax collector, to be exact, the very author of this gospel. Then, later on in chapter 9, Jesus was opposed and criticized for he and his disciples not fasting. Here, in chapter 12, this growing opposition toward Jesus really begins to intensify. It really starts to come to a head. This animosity of the religious leaders against Jesus will eventually lead them to plot together. They will get all on the same page. They will all connect the dots, and they will say, hey, we're going to get him. And so they take Jesus by trickery, and they kill him per Matthew 26:3-5. Now, you can read that, or we'll get to that eventually as we preach through this gospel. In the midst of the Jewish religious leaders' opposition, we have Jesus' beautiful Passion Week, which culminates with Jesus in the upper room breaking bread and passing a cup of wine to his disciples as he institutes the Lord's Supper. Of course, ultimately, the opposition to Jesus ends in the cross, which does what? Takes care of our sin, which does what? Solidifies our path to God. Somebody say amen. And allows us the wonderful privilege to observe communion together as the church this morning. It's a win-win all the way around. Amen? In the midst of everything going on, in this passage, in the midst of everything going on in this passage, I don't want you to miss this. Don't miss this simple yet profound lesson. Matthew chapter 12, 1-8, really is a beautiful illustration of Matthew 11, verses 28-30. I hope you see that as we go through this. You simply need to marvel today. You need to rejoice today. You need to worship today on how the Bible is put together and given to you this very morning. The Bible will literally illustrate and apply itself to your every situation if you will prayerfully allow the Word to do so in your life. I want to share with you three things before we get to the supper table today, this morning. Number one, we have the rebuked, rejecting of grace Pharisees. We have the rebuked, rejecting of grace Pharisees. We have them state their complaint. My guess is it was a pretty loud complaint. My guess is they were like, Jesus, we're going to get you now. And you've been telling us how the cow ate the cabbage and how the chickens come home to roost, and buddy, we're going to get you now, Jesus. And so verses 1 and 2, I bet their voices were elevated even more than this preacher's are. Verses 1 and 2 reads, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. You ever been hungry? Amen? I'm getting a little hungry right now, thinking about that bluebell. That smiley face. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, and I bet there was some drama. They said to him, look, ooh, with indignation, look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath. Well, what in the world's going on here? Well, let me share with you the background. Chapter 12, verse 1 says what? How does it begin? At that time. Amen? At that time. What time are we talking about? Take your Bibles, your Gospels, your copy of Matthew. Go all the way back to 11:1. 11:1. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. At that time goes all the way back to that. Jesus has been teaching and preaching in their cities. He had presented himself to them as their long-awaited king, their Messiah, and offered them the kingdom to them, the kingdom of God, but they did not accept his offer. We then read and studied in 11, chapter 11. He began to rebuke the cities that heard his teaching, that saw the majority of his miracles, but they did not what, church? What didn't they do? They heard Jesus. They smelled Jesus. Jesus dropped sweat on their ground. Jesus cast spittle into their air as he preached and taught. Jesus got up close and personal, but what did they not do? They did not repent. That is correct. They did not repent. They did not accept his kingdom offer. He then, as the gracious God he is, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, he then offered soul rest to them. Soul rest and a new, better way to live in his kingdom. I'll try to rebuke you into the kingdom. I'll try to woo you into the kingdom. Just come on into the kingdom. Amen. They would not do it. Now in chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, Jesus shows the difference between the harsh, the burdensome yoke that religious leaders place on people and the wonderfully light yoke in comparison that Jesus places on those that follow him. Don't miss it. Amen? Still with me? Yeah. So I'm like, well, you talk about that bluebell some more, I'll be back with you. Right? We're going to have an ice cream feast, amen? Ice cream feast. That's the background. Let me give you the problem. The problem was not the actual picking of the grain. The problem was the day the grain was picked on. Yeah. Deuteronomy 23:25 says, when you enter your neighbor's standing grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not wield a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain. In other words, if you're hungry and you need a snack and you walk walking by, your neighbor standing grain, get on in there and pick you a couple heads and get you a few grains. But, you know, you can't go into your neighbor's standing grain with your sickle and fail half of his grain and take home. You can't do that. But if you need a snack, you can sidle up on in there and get you some. Well, Jesus' disciples were picking the grain on the Sabbath. And you'll remember these Pharisees. What's the deal here, preacher? These Pharisees were strict protectors of the Sabbath. The fourth commandment says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, this is legitimately God's law. Stand up right here. Here it is. God's laws were applicable to the disciples of Jesus, and Jesus never leads his followers in contradiction to his Father's will. Would you agree with that? He never does that. But the Pharisees, in their zeal for God's law, actually applied the law way beyond God's true intention. The commandment forbid anyone from doing work on the Sabbath. But they had expanded the meaning of what constituted work to a ridiculous extent. In other words, they considered that picking heads of grain with one's hand was the work of harvesting. And they considered that rubbing the kernels of grain in the hand was the work of grinding. I mean, how are you going to get those kernels out? You got to rub them together. And that blowing the chaff away from the hand was the work of threshing. And altogether, what the disciples were doing on the Sabbath with Jesus the rabbi as their witness was doing all the work of preparing a meal. Now, the background, the problem, what's the real issue? What's the real issue tissue here, preacher? Yeah. They were placing the letter of the law, you finished the statement, they were placing the letter of the law above the, they were placing the letter of the law above the, anybody? Hey. Hey. They were placing the letter of the law above the spirit of the law. Say it with me. Spirit of the law. One more time. Spirit of the law. I'm not hearing you. Spirit of the law. Maybe I'm too loud. Am I too loud? No? Spirit of the law. Okay. All right. I'm not good at reading lips, I'll tell you that. So you gotta say it. Amen. I gotta hear it, or I'm lost, right? God's intention in giving the Sabbath law was not for people to suffer hunger. The Sabbath law was meant to be a day of mercy. Remember you said that with me? Mercy. To be a day of turning away from the regular work-a-day chores of life and taking delight in a day of rest. Man alive. How many of you rest on Sunday? You take Sunday off. How many of you get a nap on Sunday? Right? How many of you have another day if it's not Sunday? Do you take a day off? A day off? Yeah. You've raised your hand twice back there in the back. You, how many days off do you take off? I do what I want. Must be nice. Amen. Your body needs, your mind needs, your soul needs, your spirit needs, your being needs rhythmically one day out of seven to cool your jets, right? Now, you're a grandmama. There ain't no rest for you. I'm a pastor. Ain't no rest for me, right? For the rest of you folks, you need to take some rest. At least one day a week. Amen? Well, what does Jesus do? The rebuked, rejecting grace Pharisees state their complaint. Jesus, point number two, Jesus responds with a threefold approach. That's why preachers preach 3 points, man, because Jesus does it. He gives 3 points a lot of times, just 3 points. Well, here we go. Jesus responds with a threefold approach. Now, I doubt the Pharisees, after he's already cleaned their clock pretty good, he's already gotten in their grill, he's already got snapped up in their business. I am telling you now, they're not real thrilled. They're not real impressed with Jesus' knowledge of the Scriptures. And I'm sure of it as I'm standing here today, that Jesus had offended them, that they were highly offended, that they were totally offended as Jesus asked them, these are supposed to be the scholars of the law, as Jesus asked them, have they read? Haven't you read? Or had they known? Well, friend, I want to tell you, offended or not, Jesus keeps on pouring on the truth. He keeps on pouring on the truth. First, Jesus points to the story of King David. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me of chapter 12. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. What's going on here, Pastor? Well, 1 Samuel 21, David was on the run from King Saul, who was seeking to kill him. Why would King Saul want to kill King David? Because God had communicated through his prophet Samuel that sinful Saul was going to be removed from the throne and David would take his place. So Saul's trying to get him, snuff him out. David hurriedly ran for his life to Nob, N-O-B, Nob, not to be confused with Job. It's Nob, right? What's in Nob? In Nob is the tabernacle of the Lord. The tabernacle of the Lord was located in Nob at this time. But he left so quick, his haste was so quick, he was trying to get out of there before he died. He left so quick that he did not have time to take food for himself or for the men who were with him. So he went to the priest, Ahimelech, and asked what was available. Well, all that was available was the showbread, the bread of presence, that was set out fresh each week as a part of the worship in the tabernacle and later in the temple, in accordance with God's command through Moses per Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 through 9. Now, per this ceremonial law, only the priests of the tabernacle and later the temple, only the priests could eat the showbread per Exodus chapter 29, verses 32 and 33, and Leviticus chapter 22, verses 10 through 16. But when Ahimelech, the high priest, saw that David and his men were truly hungry and that they were holy men and not ceremonially unclean, and that fresh bread was about to take its place, mercy, there's that word again that you said with me, mercy took precedence over the letter of the law, and he gave the bread to David, and consequently, David gave the bread to his men. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 6 says, so the priest gave him consecrated bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of presence, which was removed from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place when it was taken away. Now, hey, it was week old bread. But friend, when you're hungry, you're hungry. Amen? What's the point? Doing good on the Sabbath. Doing good. doing good on the Sabbath is always permissible because the Spirit supersedes the letter of the law. Amen? All right. Secondly, now, first Jesus points to the story of King David. That's in a history book, 1 Samuel. Second, Jesus points to the portion of Scripture that deals with the precepts of the law. That's going to be in the Torah, first five books of the Bible. Look at verse 5 with me. Or have you not read in the law, first five books of the Bible, Old Testament, have you not read in the Torah, the Pentateuch, or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are what? Innocent. They're innocent. Here he was pointing to the fact that in the temple, and then later on in the tabernacle, and then later on in the temple, the priests were required to violate or profane the Sabbath with work every week as they prepared and offered the burnt offering. How many of you ever gutted a deer? A few hands go up. How many of you have ever gutted 200 crappie? How many of you have ever gutted a hog? A few hands, yeah. Is it fun work? No. Numbers 28, 9 and 10 says, then on the Sabbath day, Numbers 28, 9 through 10, then on the Sabbath day, two male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, in addition to the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. Can you imagine the work to slit two male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, bleed them out, and then gut them dudes, and then de-skin them, and then chop up the meat, quarter them, and then get them ready for the sacrifice? Think that was clean work? I think that was hard work. The sharpening of the knives and the swinging, the blows and the breaking of the bone and the gristle and the pulling of the... all of that. You say, preacher, I was hungry. I'm not hungry anymore. Right? Can you imagine how much work that took? I mean, and yet it was required of the priest that they do so every Sabbath. The priests of the Old Testament, in their work of the tabernacle and later the temple service, they profaned the Sabbath, and yet they were innocent. They were blameless in their work. Jesus makes a remarkable statement here. He makes a remarkable statement in application of this fact. Look at verse 6. But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. Something greater than the temple is here. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus here in this passage is claiming superiority over the temple and the Sabbath law. That's what he's doing. He's claiming superiority, if I can get it out in one sentence, in one statement. If the Sabbath law can be broken without guilt in order to fulfill the needs of the temple, then it follows that it can be broken without sin to meet the needs of one greater than the temple. Now, Jesus has already used the history, 1 Samuel. He's already used the law, Numbers, referencing Leviticus and other places where we break that all out. Third, Jesus points to the portion of Scripture that dealt with the prophets. Verse 7. But if you had known what this means, if you had known what this means, I desire, what does it say? One more time. I desire, Oh, one more time. I desire. What does yours say? Mercy. King James Version? Okay, sorry. Is that why I'm tripping people up? Yeah, that's why you're tripping people up, preacher. If you'd get the right translation, we'd all be on the same page. All right. I get it. Right. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy. Right? I desire mercy. I'm waiting for you to say it. I desire mercy. Well, see, they're all in the King James Version. This means I desire compassion / mercy and not a sacrifice. You would not have condemned the innocent. You would not have condemned the innocent. Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament prophet, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, where God says to Israel, Hosea 6:6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Now, is the Old Testament there giving them a pass to not give or to not support the religious institutions? No, it's not about that. Not about them getting a pass. It's about this. God is not interested in sacrifices just for sacrifice's sake. God is not interested in sacrifices just for sacrifice's sake. He was trying to communicate to the Pharisees, God's not interested in the law just for the law's sake. See, boys, the law is supposed to point you somewhere. The law is supposed to get you from point A to point B. And fellas, I'm here over here, point B. You've got all this head knowledge, got all these facts, you got all these regulations, but yet you won't repent. You have missed the proverbial boat. You are a ball out there in the high weeds. You're so lost. Come on back. And they won't come back. See, a sacrifice offered will not satisfy God. A sacrifice offered will not satisfy God when the heart that gives it is wrong. When the heart that gives it is wrong. 1 Samuel 15:22, back to the history. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Right? I think a lot of times, man, we want to, let's just be honest. Let's just get it where we live, right? We want to live like the devil Sunday afternoon through Saturday night. And then come Sunday, man, we want to come to church, put on our church face, our church clothes, and play Christian. You know, 2-3 hours. And then when it's over, we go back to doing it our way, right? And we think, well, you know, I've come to church. I put a 5 spot in the plate or a 20 spot or whatever it is. You know, I nodded when the preacher asked me to nod, or I said a word when he wanted me to say a word. Man, I'm legit. I got this thing down, right? And we are what? A lot of times, we're not discipled. A lot of times, we're not growing. Sometimes, we're not even saved. And we're just going through the what? The religious motions. The Bible's saying this, hey, man, the religion supposed to get you somewhere. It's supposed to get you to the cross. It's supposed to get you to communion. It's supposed to get you to the ordinance. It's supposed to get you worshiping Jesus for his death. Amen? So it's supposed to come full circle. See, clearly God is looking for mercy on his Sabbath rather than that strict, inhumane burden placed on people's backs. And friend, can I tell you something? This group of Pharisees, this was their second swing at the ball. And it's still, swing! Right? You know, Jesus is catching that heater. Wow! And they have swung and missed it again. Well, where's the first pitch? The first pitch was a changeup Jesus threw to them in Matthew 9:13. Don't you like the baseball analogy? I love it. 9:13. And it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. We have not sought the favor. Wait a minute. 9:13. Wait. Hold on. I may have a mistake here. Y'all write it down. Amen. Matthew. Well, it wouldn't be Daniel chapter 9. I don't know how. I tried to go three chapters back. I went about four books back. Sorry. Matthew chapter 9. I knew that verse didn't look right. Matthew 9:13. Are you with me now? It says, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. They had missed the lesson in Matthew 9:13. They missed the lesson again in Matthew 12, verse 7. They miss it again. That brings me to my third point. The rebuked, rejecting grace Pharisees, they state their complaint. Jesus responds with a threefold approach. And notice that he covers the history. And notice that he covers the law. And notice that he covers the prophets. He only leaves out the wisdom literature and the poetry. He gets the majority representative of the whole Old Testament. Amen? Point number three. Jesus ends with the truth. He ends with the truth that the Sabbath day, is none other than a Christ type. Say what? Christ type. I'll say it this way. Type of Christ. That the Sabbath is none other than a Christ type or a type of Christ. Look at verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. To call himself the Son of Man was the same as to call himself the Messiah. The Pharisees, in their drama, and they're wanting to get him, and they're wanting to call him on the carpet because they had called him on the carpet, the Pharisees would have recognized this Son of Man as a reference to the Messiah as he is described in Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. I'll read the passage to you, write it down, and look it up later. Daniel 7, 13 and 14 says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Friend, when he said Son of Man, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Jesus very boldly was saying that he has a right to dictate what happens on the Sabbath because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of it. See, those who follow him, if you're a follower of Christ watching me online, those who follow him follow the one concerning whom the Sabbath of the Old Testament was simply a type. What are Christ types? Preacher, that's the first time I've heard of that type of Christ types. Adam was a Christ type. Moses was a Christ type. Joseph was a Christ type. The Passover lamb was a Christ type. Brother Marco, get this one. This is one of his sugar sticks. He likes this. The bronze serpent, Brother Marco, amen, was a Christ type. He likes that passage. Jonah was a Christ type. Some say Melchizedek was a Christ type. Your pastor believes that Melchizedek was the pre-incarnated Christ. Really, I guess you could say it's a Christ type, kind of, sort of, I don't know. The high priest, when there was a good high priest, that was a Christ type. He would go into the Holy of Holies and mediate for the people. Abraham, did I say Abraham already? Christ type. Joseph, I said that one, right? David, Christ type. They were not perfect. They were not perfect people. They were sinners in their own right. But what? Some kind of character, some kind of facet, something they did, something they withstood, looked like who? Jesus. Pointed people where? To God, to the Christ. Amen? Making sense to you now? Making sense to you now? I mean, I can go back to page one, but it'd be a long day. In other words, He is the one. He is the one in whom true rest is to be found. Here we are talking about 11 again, the end of 11. He is the one to whom the commanded rest of the Sabbath law pointed. I mean, friend, it's a Sabbath. What are you doing on the Sabbath, man? I mean, the Sabbath, are you going to the lake? I mean, are you sitting in a boat? Are you driving your RV? I mean, what do you do on the Sabbath? Are you going to the mall? I mean, what's the deal with the Sabbath? What's to do on the Sabbath? What do you do on the Sabbath? You focus on who? Amen. Yeah. The Apostle Paul gave a wonderful word of encouragement concerning all of this. He wrote to the Colossian Christians to completely rest on the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He said in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." So, how foolish. How foolish then for the Pharisees to be so focused on insisting that the Old Testament shadows be kept so strictly. And to the hurt of the disciples and anybody else when they were right, then in the very presence of the one who was the substance of it all, they completely missed the point. The Pharisees completely missed the point. The point of a Christ type is that we should be pointed to Christ. We should be pointed to the Father. We should be pointed to a deeper fellowship, a stronger relationship, meaningful worship. Are you with me? So don't worship. Don't worship your quiet time. Don't worship your prayer time. Don't worship your financial stewardship to the church. Don't you do that. Don't you worship your Monday night Bible study. Don't you do it. Don't worship your church attendance. Don't worship your Bible reading. Rather, worship the one that all these practices direct us to, point us to worship Him. Worship Him. Never make outward religious actions a substitute for enjoying a genuine relationship with Him. What we're doing here this morning should not be your all in all. What we're doing here this morning should be in addition to. Should be in addition to you in the Word and you praying. Pastor, you said don't worship them. I didn't say don't do them. I said don't worship them. Right? But again, we get in the habit, and it's easy in our culture. Consumers. I'm going to go have me a little slice of church to start my week off right. Kind of like the preacher. He likes a little bit of Bluebell. Before he goes to bed on Saturday night, gets him all jazzed up, ready to go on Sunday. Well, Sunday morning, preacher, I'm going to have my little slice of church. And I shall not be moved or changed. But I'm going to give you a little bit of time. And then when I get out the door, same bat time, same bat channel, I'm back to the way I was. That's the Pharisees. Don't be the Pharisees. Be the disciples, walking with Jesus. in the midst of the grain field. Jesus, I'm hungry. Well, friends, there's the food. All right, Jesus, well, let's just keep walking and going as I grab a few of these heads of grain. Jesus, tell me again what it means in the new kingdom. So I rub this grain together. As we walk along the way, going to the next town or village, as Jesus explains the truth, just go with Jesus, amen. Just walk with Him. Don't be burdened. Oh, take His yoke, which verse 28 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we approach this Lord's Supper table this morning, as we get ready to come, may we be in a spirit of worship, because His death, His very death on the cross, has provided a wonderful freedom that we enjoy in following Him, because His yoke truly is easy and His burden truly is light. So may we honor this morning the Lord of the Sabbath. May we honor this morning the Lord of the Sabbath that gives us the ultimate rest through His death. Amen. So we bow our heads and close our eyes. As Brother Jeremiah makes his way down, we'll have a prayer and then we'll be in a time of invitation. If you need to come and pray or unburden your heart with something, you feel like you need to come to the altar is open. If you need to talk with me, the pastor here, about your salvation or something, something's just hanging you up and you just don't know if you can receive the elements today or whatever the care concern may be, I'll be down front to receive you. But we'll take a few moments to get our hearts centered up and worshiped up a little more with some song and music. And then we'll come back to the table. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer as Brother Jeremiah comes. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your gospel. We thank You for Your truth today. And Lord, we pray that we would just receive it. And Lord, it would rest well with us. And Father God, it would bring about a discipled life within us. And Lord, we would seek to do, not to carry a burden, but we would seek to do, we would seek to live, we would seek to go carrying Your burden, right? With Your yoke that you have designed and fitted to specifically fit each one of us. Lord, I'm thankful for my yoke today. Thank You, Lord, for mine. Oh, Father God, I carry it with humility. Thank You for it. Thank You, Lord, that You let me preach. You called me to preach. You let me do it. I praise You and thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for that. Lord, others may need to shoulder up underneath, Lord. They may need to put back on. Lord, they may need to get right with You during this invitation time before we receive the elements. Lord, I pray that we would be submissive and open to Your Holy Spirit. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. I'll be down here on the front pew. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in this time of invitation.
Our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary.
Thank y'all. Y'all may be seated at this time as the deacons get ready to prepare the elements for us. They will be standing down front, and you will come one aisle or two aisles or however they're going to do it. You're going to be, somebody will direct you to come down, and you'll come down and get both elements and then go back to your seat, or you're more than welcome to stay up here. If you do stay up here with us, if you will just practice some social distancing and stuff, unless it's your immediate family group and you can just stand on each other, I don't care. But if you're different family groups, practice some social distancing, okay? All right. And if you can't come up, please raise your hand, all right? Very good. All right, so let's send them on down. Thank you, brother.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord.
Amen. Do it one more time? Yeah.
Sure. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Has that everybody got an element that wants an element or has elements that wants elements? Yeah, you can get you one. Yeah. All right. Jeremiah's looking for juice. Huh? I'm good. There you go, brother. Amen. Everybody got an element that wants one? All right, man. Hey, he did pretty good, didn't he? He really did. I'm impressed. He's so very polite. Yeah. Amen, amen. Well, I want to tell you, this is always a blessed time for me, and each and every opportunity we get to observe the Lord's Supper just blesses my soul. We didn't get to do it as much during the COVID pandemic, and we're doing it now, and We're just going to keep on trucking along with it and everything. But thank you all for participating and coming today. This is the second ordinance, first ordinance baptism, or the first ordinance Lord's Supper, second ordinance baptism. I don't know. There's two ordinances of the church. This ordinance is one. The first ordinance baptism or baptism of the ordinance is your opportunity and testimony. Man, this is this communion is, oh golly, it is Jesus' testimony back to you that he loves you with an everlasting love, and that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He died for you, for your sin. Man, he carried it all on the cross. We're never told to celebrate his birth or do all kinds of things about his birth, but boy, when it comes to his death, we're asked to remember it. And so in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, Matthew 26:26, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. After a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." I'm going to say a few things about it. We're going to pray and then we're going to eat. But my soul, his body, the work he did with his body on the cross, it just, oh man, it blows me away how he carried all of my failures and everything I've done wrong. He carried it in that one moment. God turned his back on his son, and he allowed his son to experience sin and death and punishment, and he did that for us. It just literally knocks my socks off. And then they place his body in the tomb, and on the third day he resurrects. And friend, here we are today. We can have this rest, this genuine rest. We can have this yoke tailor-made to us. We can have all of this because of his death. It's a glorious thing, amen? Let's thank him for his body and for this bread, and we'll eat it. Jesus, we come to you right now. We remember, Lord. And Lord, I just sense you here with us right now. Your Holy Spirit is so bold right now. But Lord, we remember your death. We remember the sacrifice. We remember the pain and the suffering. We remember how your body must have been nailed to that old rugged cross. And Jesus, we're thankful for your obedience. For your obedience to go before us and to pay the ultimate price that we could not pay. Thank you that love compelled you and that obedience compelled you and that your love for us moved you to do what you did. Lord, help us center our lives on your sacrifices and how you provided this great gift for humanity. And may we seek, because of our time here, right now, may we seek to be more like you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, shall we eat? Let that settle in. And as we've come together, I'm really thankful for all those that are here today, the young people, the median age people, and the senior adults. It takes everybody to be the church. And I know what some of you kids are thinking. He gets really wound up about this stuff. And I really do. When I was y'all's age, doing the Lord's Supper, we get a little hors d'oeuvre before lunch, right? But, man, the older I get, the longer we go. Whoo! It's something else. And I'm thankful for you youth, man. You just hang in there. This is, you just watch us and lead the bad stuff that we do behind and try to emulate some of the good stuff, and you get on down the road, and this thing will mean something to you. Maybe mean something more to you then than it does now. But thank you for being here, young people, and participating with us. This is so vitally important that you're here with us. Jesus continues on and says, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I've always wondered, you know, wouldn't his life have been enough? What's the deal with the blood? Why do we got to have the blood? I mean, he died on the cross. He said it's finished, and he breathed his last. What's so important about the blood? Man, it's the blood that covers the sin. The life pays for the sacrifice. The blood covers the sin. God always has this thing about him where he says, I'm going to give you two testimonies. Two. I'm going to give you two testimonies. First testimony is my life. Second testimony is my blood. Jesus says in John 1, 1 through 14, 1 through 18, 1 through 22, John chapter 1, I'm the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know the passage I'm talking about, right? We have the Word of God testimony, and then we have the Word of God, Jesus, testimony. God says, I'm going to make sure you know that you know what I'm doing and how I'm trying to help you. I'm going to present it to you two different ways. I'm going to show you Jesus from Genesis all the way through to the Gospels, and then I'm going to show you Jesus in the flesh from Matthew all the way to the end of Revelation. Two testimonies. Isn't it wonderful? Amen? Let's thank him for this cup, and then we'll drink. Jesus, we come to you now, and we thank you for this beautiful cup, what it represents, Lord. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross to cover our sins. We remember your death. We rejoice in the blood. Lord, as we will one day stand before you, it is the blood that covers us so that when you look upon us, you don't see our sin, but you see your Son. And so, Lord, we come together right here, right now, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, thanking you and rejoicing in what you have done for us, how you have shed your blood. Lord, we're thankful for everything the blood represents, the new covenant, this new life, and eternity with you. Thank you for all of it. We remember today how that blood coursed out of your body and ran down your limbs and dripped on the ground until your body had no more blood to give. We're thankful for every precious drop and what it does for us. We love you today, Lord. We praise you today. Thank you for all you do. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we drink? I want to thank the deacons at this time for their preparation of the elements and the table. And they will be standing at the back as you are dismissed. They will have open Bible. And if you're so willing or so moved or whatever the Lord would lead you to do, if you would wish to participate in a benevolence offering, we take a benevolence offering every Lord's Supper, every communion. And then as people have needs in the community, people have needs within the church, we have a fund that we're able to dip into and help in that way. So if you would feel so moved to do that, we would appreciate that. Also, we are going to be having a members meeting. That is the 1st of August. Is that correct? 1st of August. And if you have not received a financial statement or financial statements, Brother John Thornhill will have those available to you on the way out the door. And then he's holding up an offering plate. If you've not placed your offering in there, they're right back there with him. You can do that as well. So benevolence offering in the deacons. Offering goes, your regular tithe and offering goes in the plate if you've not placed that in there. And at this time, we're going to sing a hymn to be dismissed. So I'll ask you to stand. As the hymn ends, you'll be dismissed. All right? Thank you, brother.
As we drink this cup, we worship you. As we eat this bread, we honor you. As we offer you our lives as you have offered yours for us, we remember all you've done for us. We remember your covenant with us. We remember and worship you, O Lord. Amen.